B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. Tyrone Johnson in for Anthony and for Paul and Mike and leading us up to the Flyers weekly show. We're live from Chickies and Pete's in Marlton, New Jersey. 12 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Bird Peanut Chews. Delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized peanuts loaded with crunchy peanuts. Pat Egan producing. A lot going on in this day after Thanksgiving. A lot of energy out here. A lot of sports going on. And we're going to talk about something. The phone number 610-632-0975 that I think is always important to do. It's always important to be thankful for things. And what better time than the day after Thanksgiving to be thankful? So I'm asking people today, what are you thankful for in Philadelphia sports? Now, I can tell you one thing I'm thankful for in Philadelphia sports, and that's the Dallas Cowboys being the Dallas Cowboys. They can't get out of their own way. They never, ever, ever, ever deliver on expectations. They stink. And because they stink, even though they shouldn't stink, the Eagles are still in the mix. But it was a tough week. Carson Wentz has had some struggles. There's been a lot of things that happened. So a lot of people have been down. A lot of people have been negative around sports. I want to turn that around today and talk about what you're thankful for in Philadelphia sports. Also, a lot of food was consumed yesterday for people that don't like who don't hate Thanksgiving like Pat Egan hates Thanksgiving. And
well, I don't hate Thanksgiving. I just don't like the food.
Right. So a lot of people don't enjoy Thanksgiving food. A lot of people do. So what I want to talk about is this non-sports topic. So we're going to talk about what we're thankful for. 610-632-0975. We got a lot to get to. I'm starting there. I'm going to talk about food. Now, I'm a person who feels like it's ridiculous that with all the GMOs out there in the world, that there's still crust on bread. I don't understand it. I don't eat it. I don't like it. But I was told that I was a child. So if you go to my Twitter page, at Ty Johnson News. I have a poll up. Says I'm live at noon on 97.5 The Fanatic at Chickies and Pizza Marlton, which I am. Here's the non-sports question of the day. Do you eat crust on toast / bread? It has over 300 votes early. Haven't even really mentioned the poll. Just put it out there. 92% of people say they eat the crust. 8% of people are civilized like me and don't eat the crust. And I'm trying to figure out some food things from everybody. That's my food thing. But almost, Pat will get into his food thing. Almost everyone has a food thing that's theirs that's a little bit weird. Anthony's thing is he doesn't allow food to touch. So if he's having a Thanksgiving, he has turkey and he has the mashed potatoes. If the mashed potatoes touch the turkey, he's not eating either one. That's his thing. Food can't touch, which to me is weird. Everyone has a weird thing. Mine is crust. If I toast the bread and I eat any kind of sandwich, why would I eat the crust? I feel like that's prison food. Yet, many people think I'm crazy and say that's where the flavor is. And I think that's just people who don't know anything about flavor. Now, Pat, I'm going to allow you to defend yourself real fast before I move on to the next thing. Why don't you like Thanksgiving again?
I'm not a huge turkey fan.
Well, what about the other things? You don't like sides?
I like mashed potatoes, like crescent rolls, cranberry sauce. Other than that, not really.
You don't like a macaroni?
We don't have macaroni. We never do macaroni.
Yeah.
Although I did have macaroni yesterday. I stopped at Wawa.
I don't know if that counts for the macaroni we're talking about.
It was good.
What about a ham? Do you like a ham?
I like a ham, but that's never an option.
But you know, you're like, okay, people that don't know, you are a father, right?
Allegedly.
And you are married with a wife, right?
For now, it's a...
I mean, as of this morning, right?
Yeah, I mean, she could call Cordell and Cordell at any moment, but yes.
Okay. So that would mean that you could hypothetically do whatever you want on Thanksgiving, and you could have ham.
I could. You know, caller's making a good point here.
I'm just saying.
But we go where we go. Like, I'm not going to demand they have a ham because I don't have to do anything. You know, it's
that's fine.
So that's my situation. Is yeah, I could demand all this stuff, and then I have to buy the ham.
Yeah, but all right, fine. All right.
You know, and when you're this broke, it's like, all right, you just take what you're given.
All right.
I've never been a huge Thanksgiving Day food fan.
That's fair. Do you eat the crust on bread?
Yeah, toast. Yeah, I do.
Still?
Yeah.
Even though you have the right now, you're not like a child and like...
I don't think this is a child thing. I don't think it's like a... I think cutting off the crust is more childish.
I don't cut off the crust. I just don't eat it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I don't cut it off.
At times, I don't
leave it. I eat the insides and leave the crust because yuck.
There's times where I don't eat the crust on pizza.
Yeah, I don't eat the crust on pizza often.
Often, yeah, I'll say often. No, I do.
There are times when I do.
Yeah, if I get like a Santucci's, like you have to because it's a square pie. But I don't. Yeah, I don't think it's a situation of you're childish if you eat the crust. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's not that you're childish. I know sometimes when you're a kid, people make you eat the crust. So I was wondering if people still ate it by choice, but I guess people do.
That was actually a contention of me and my mother at one point. She was making me eat food that I don't want to eat. I didn't want to eat.
Yeah, that all happens.
I had to yell at her and say, I'm my own man now. Stop bullying me.
I'm my own man. I eat what I want. Yes, indeed. But all right, Patton, real fast, what are you thankful for in Philadelphia sports right now?
I'm thankful.
Anything?
Yeah, I am. I'm thankful that the Eagles won a Super Bowl 2 years ago because this would be even worse.
Come on, man.
Had they not? No, I'm
it's
thankful.
It's got to be something current.
Yes, I'm thankful that Ben Simmons took a three.
Okay.
I would like him, and I've said this before, I would like him to just simply improve his free throw percentage because I don't need the three. But I'm thankful at least we saw it. We know it's in there in a meaningful game.
And it looked good.
I'm thankful, you know, the Flyers, young players are developing and showing actual promise instead of what you normally get from Flyers prospects, which is nothing.
There you go.
The Eagles side, I'm happy that Carson Wentz has been healthy this whole year.
That's an underplayed story because people are mad at him. I'm also thankful for that. There were a lot of people who said one of the main reasons they preferred Nick Foles to Carson Wentz was they thought, for whatever reason, without any facts, that he was the more durable quarterback, even though he's never played 16 games in his entire life. Then we see he breaks his collarbone, and for whatever you want to say about Carson Wentz's performance, you can say whatever you want. He has been healthy and has been sound. That hand injury that he got making a tackle, and I don't know why he had to make a tackle and no one else can make that tackle, making a tackle in the last game, he's going to be fine. And it looks like he's on track so far. Yeah, to be okay. Knock on wood. I'm literally knocking on wood right now.
Yeah, he practiced fully yesterday. And finally, I'll say I'm thankful that the Phillies have a real manager.
Yes, Joe Girardi, a real manager.
So there you go. I'm thankful for all four teams.
Then look at you. That's what I'm trying to bring out today.
Patty positivity.
Now, I noticed that last night, as Dallas is losing the game, and I'm not one of these people that puts a lot of stock in Dallas. I'm not one of these people that thinks a day's better just because Dallas lost. It doesn't hurt. I don't respect Dallas fans. I don't put them on any kind of pedestal. I actually despise Dallas fans and think that they're bad people, especially local Dallas fans. I would not be friends with a Dallas fan, straight up. I don't like them, but I don't give much. I've told this story many times on the Mike Missanelli show. I have currently have family members, local fans, blocked on Facebook and other social media because they're Dallas fans. And I'm not going to unblock them because I don't respect them. But at the same time, the fact of the matter is the Eagles controlled their own destiny before that game happened. Now the Eagles actually could. This is the math for people out there, and I'm thankful for this. The Eagles could hypothetically lose this game on Sunday, win out, and still win the NFC East. Now, people say, oh, well, if they lost that game, then I wouldn't want to make the playoffs. That's stupid. You want to make the playoffs no matter what. Why? Because you want your quarterback to play in a playoff game. You want your young players to get playoff experience. And because you would be a division winner, that playoff game would be home. So I just don't understand these people who say stuff like that. So 610-632-0975, what are you thankful for in Philadelphia sports. Number two, what's your food thing? Mine is I do not eat crust on bread. And the third thing, are you one of these people who thinks it would be a waste for the Eagles to make the playoffs because the Dallas Cowboys keep opening the door for them to make the playoffs? 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 3 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 3. For the Big Flyers show, and then we got a Flyers game at 4 o'clock today on this Black Friday. Let's go to the phones. Dustin in the Northeast. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, Ty, what's going on?
What's going on, Dustin?
Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Just a couple things. I eat the crust on my sandwiches. My daughter does it, and my nieces and nephews. I agree with Pat. I think it's more of a kid's thing when you don't eat the crust and everything.
No.
But I wanted to talk about the Eagles and this whole Carson Wentz thing, because it's really mind-boggling to me, because nobody's bringing up the fact. Besides Zach Ertz, and that's only because he gives him 15 targets a game, who has Carson Wentz ever made better in Eagles uniform?
What are you talking about, made better? Who was good enough to be made better?
Well, Alshon Jeffries was an all-pro wide receiver before he came here, before Nick Foles started playing.
What are you talking about? He wasn't an all-pro with Nick Foles either.
Everybody says that he was too. I'm going to read off a couple things I've been thinking about. Last year, when we were below 500,
uh-huh.
Below 500 team with Carson Wentz.
Uh-huh. We had a broken back. Go ahead.
All right. We had the worst offensive line in the league.
That's
we
not
had
true.
Wide receivers who, what happened?
That's not true. No. So in the Saints game, do you remember the Saints game in the playoffs?
Yeah, when Alshon dropped that ball. We should have won that game.
But what about when they were up 14-0 and Nick Foles threw the interception attempt? Do you remember that play or no?
Yeah, I remember that play.
How come you didn't mention it?
Because that's
so this is how I know, Dustin, that you're kind of a fraud. If you want to call in and you want to mention one guy's negative plays, that's fine. But then you can't forget the other guy's negative plays. All you have to do is be fair, and we're good. You're clearly not fair, which means you clearly have an agenda. So why do you hate him?
But let me tell you this. If you want to talk about one player's play, why did Nelson Aguilar catch, what, 8 or 9 balls in the Super Bowl? Why, if Alshon Jeffries?
So what about when they were 11-2 with Carson Wentz that year? Was Aguilar having a good year that year?
I understand that.
No. So therefore, that was a year where he played well, and he hasn't played well since. So perhaps, and he didn't play well before. So perhaps 2017 was just a fluke.
I understand that, and I know what you're saying. But do you think I know we can't really go back and do anything about it now or see how it would have played out? But if Carson Wentz was our quarterback that year, in the playoffs, you think he would have got us to the Super Bowl one?
Yes, I think they get to the Super Bowl easier because I think the Atlanta game's easier. If you remember, Foles struggled in the first half of that Atlanta game. That's what I think happened.
I just think the problem is Carson does not read defense, and I don't think that he's our quarterback. I don't think he's the quarterback. I don't think he'll ever win a Super Bowl for us.
Oh, okay. That's it? Thanks for the call. No, I mean, that's fine. You can have that opinion. He has not played well in the last couple games. But when I look at the season in totality, I see he has 2 wins that the Cowboys quarterback was unable to get. Right now, if you look at it, the Eagles are in line to make the playoffs because of 2 reasons. Because they won at Green Bay and they won at Buffalo. That game 31-13. Those games happened. In the grand scheme of the entire season, both of those games actually did happen. There is no denying that those games happened. That Prescott lost both of those games. Right now, they've had 7 common opponents. The Eagles are 4-3 against those opponents, and Dallas is 2-5. So my question is, does Carson Wentz quarterback the game when they win as well or only in the losses? Because what I'm hearing is it's a team game when the Eagles win, and it's Carson when the team loses, which to me doesn't make sense. That's all. That's all. He has not played well the last 2 weeks. Absolutely true. I can't fake like he had a good game. He had his worst game of his career, most likely the last game. So did the receivers, but it happens. It's on the quarterback. But I can't just sit here and pretend that every game he's ever played has stunk and Nick Foles isn't winless this season and they haven't been blown out 73-23 since he's taken back over as quarterback in Jacksonville. See, it would be much more convenient to do the Nick Foles thing if Jacksonville was winning with Nick Foles. But they're not winning with Nick Foles because Nick Foles is not that good. This hour, got a big giveaway this hour. Golden Bergs peanut chews. All right, we do it every week. Anthony usually does it. We're going to do it this hour to the best caller. So the previous caller will not be eligible for the Golden Bergs peanut chews. The best caller in this hour win a tub of Golden Bergs peanut chews, serving fans delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. This is probably one of the better giveaways that we have here at the radio station. You'll get a tub of the peanut chews this hour. Now, every time I fill in for somebody, the shows devolve to Wentz and Foles. And I don't understand it. One guy took the money and ran to Jacksonville, yet here we are talking about it. And I'll do whatever you guys want, but I wanted to talk about positive things and what I'm thankful for in Philadelphia sports. And instead, this is what I get. Raheel in Camden, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Raheem.
Oh, what's going on, Raheem?
I'm good, buddy. But I just have to bring up this Carson Wentz. Eagles won in those games with Carson when they took the ball out of Carson Wentz's hands. When they went to the running game, those how he got those wins. Carson passed for 150 yards both of those games when we won. The Green Bay game and the Buffalo game. He had nothing to do. It was the running game. So we cannot give Carson credit for those wins when they took the ball out of his hands and put it in the running game's hand.
So did they do that to take it out of his hands, or they did it to take out the wide receiver's hands?
Carson's hand.
What, based on what? Like, why are you basing that? What are you basing that on?
Because when they put the ball in Carson's hands, that's when we get beat, and we get beat bad. When they throw the ball,
or is it when you put it in the wide receiver's hands? Because the running backs are better than the wide receivers this year.
Come on, I got nothing to do with it. Come on.
That has nothing to do with it.
Carson's having a terrible year.
So who's more talented? Answer the question, Raheem. Who's more talented? The current Eagles wide receivers are the current Eagles running backs? Who are better football players?
A good quarterback.
No. Answer the question, Raheem.
All right.
Who are better? The current Eagles running backs or the current Eagles wide receivers? Who are more talented right now?
That's a relevant question.
It's not an irrelevant question because who you're throwing to plays a role in sports, just like who you hand it to plays a role in sports. I guarantee if the Eagles running receivers were more talented and the running back stunk, they wouldn't run the ball as much because you'd be handing off to players who can't play.
Okay, so Alshon Jeffrey stinks all of a sudden now.
He stinks.
Don't go by 2017, he stinks because he chose to become a snitch and he can't run anymore.
He can't play anymore.
He only stinks when he's playing with Carson.
Snitches get stitches, man.
Oh. Man, he's a snitch. And no, he didn't only stink. He dropped the ball at the end of the Saints game that was thrown by Nick Foles. So let me get this straight. So he didn't drop that pass at the end of the game?
Did he drop that?
So you're not speaking in facts, Raheem. So he's out on the peanut chews. Criticize anything you want. But we can't be silly right now. We can't be silly right now. If you think that the Eagles wide receivers are good, well, then you think that. I don't know what you're basing it on, but you're entitled to your opinion. I don't agree. I personally don't think these wide receivers are particularly good. In fact, I don't think that some of these wide receivers will necessarily even be in football next year. That's what I think. I don't think this is difficult. 610-632-0907. Now, Pat, before I go to Sean in the Northeast, I want to ask you, do you think the wide receivers are good this year?
No, they're terrible. They're awful. So, Greg Ward came up the scrap heap and caught six passes and immediately outperformed Matt Collins' entire season.
Entire season and Arcega Whiteside's entire season.
I think both of them combined.
So if you were the offensive coordinator right now and you were in charge, would you put the ball in the hand of the tight end and the running backs or the wide receivers?
Tight end and running backs.
So therefore, and I've acknowledged, you did hear me say that Carson was bad the last 2 weeks, right?
You did say it once or twice on our show, actually, the Green Zone.
On the Green Zone. He has been bad the last couple weeks. But when I look at the entire season, the season isn't only the last two games. So what I'm talking about, people, is, period. This is what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, in its totality, I don't believe that Carson Wentz has been horrendous this year. And the reason is because of the common opponent wins that would propel the Eagles to the playoffs. The Buffalo game happened. Now, you want to say he game managed that game? Okay. Why couldn't Dak Prescott game manage his way to a victory there? If you want to say that someone else did, fine. You can think whatever you want to think. But what I can't have is separate facts. I'm here with you until 3 o'clock, and we'll be disagreeing on opinions live at Chickies and Pizza in Marlton. What we can't do is have alternative facts. That can't happen. So not in the running for the peanut chews. We're 0 for 2 so far, but I believe that this hour is going to pick up. Sean in the Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Sean?
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Late, but, you know.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
Yes, sir.
Like you said, our best option this year has been through our running backs pretty much. We saw two games against Buffalo and the Bears and the Packers game, if you want to throw it in there, where we relied on the run. We won the game. Carson wasn't forced to win the game by himself. Then Doug comes out of the bye week and forces him to win the game by himself against the Patriots in Seattle with no weapons after you go on a 95-yard drive against the Patriots defense.
Running the ball,
and then you don't see Miles Sanders for a quarter and a half, and then he was a decoy mostly in the fourth quarter, which didn't make any sense unless he was hurt.
Yeah.
So I put more blame on Doug than anybody for not using what he has, you know what I mean?
The game plans haven't been good. Now, I've said it. Carson didn't have good games back-to-back. He also had some mitigating circumstances. I think there's some trouble right now with him and Doug getting on the same page with how they want to run the offense. What I believe the Eagles should do is run the ball, play action, deep shots, get down the field, throw the ball down the field where the quarterback's comfortable. Instead, Doug wants to throw the ball 50 times a game doing dink and dunk. That's not what I think is a productive style to play football with Carson Wentz, but that's what the coach thinks. But
exactly.
So
we won a Super Bowl with a top running game. Since that year, we haven't had a top player at any position on our team.
You got to have a better. I'm going to put you on hold. You'll be in the mix to possibly get the peanut chews. That's a quality call. Right now, what the Eagles need to do against Miami is come out running the ball, play action fake, throw the ball downfield, if you can. But running the ball has to be the start of the game. Has to be the default. We're going to run the ball. They were within one score for large chunks of both the Patriots game and the Seattle game if they got away from the running game for whatever reason. For whatever reason. You can't not run the ball when you have remedial wide receivers. Remedial wide receivers. Now, I saw a stat that made me sick online today from ESPN. Michael Thomas dropped a pass in the third quarter that Drew Brees threw yesterday in the Saints-Falcons game. In between that drop that he had and his previous drop, Michael Thomas caught 198 passes. He played 22 games. And 403 days passed in between drop passes for one Michael Thomas. That's what it was in between a drop pass. We're Eagles fans. We would take 43 days without a drop. We would take 2.2 games, not 22 games. We would take 1.9 catches. We would definitely take 19.8 catches in between drops from Aguilar. And instead, this guy literally caught almost 200 passes in between drops, Michael Thomas. Now, Drew Brees is a fine quarterback, but am I to think that doesn't help, that if you drop back to throw to a receiver, he's almost guaranteed to catch it if he touches it? We've seen this, how this season played out. Let's say Aguilar was Michael Thomas for 1 second. That means you win the Falcons game. The Dallas game was closer. And you at least get the overtime in the Patriots game. Now, how's the season look right now if that happens, Pat? If you have Aguilar doing what Michael Thomas did and actually just caught the passes that were thrown to him.
We're thankful for a lot more.
Thankful for a lot more, right? Now we have a lead in the division, and we're not quite as mad or angry about Carson Wentz's bad Patriots game if he delivers and throws a touchdown pass on the last drive to tie it up. We don't feel as bad about the game, right? If Aguilar does what Michael Thomas has been doing, right?
Not at all.
So all I'm saying is, it just seems odd to me. Even though when I'm trying to be thankful, by the way, no one other than you and I have talked about what we're thankful for today. No one wants to be thankful. Why does everybody have so much anger? Dallas loses. The Eagles control their own destiny. Pat, why do you think people are still so angry?
Good question. I think it's in our nature, honestly, to be
It's just our DNA to be.
Yeah. To be, you know, it's never going to work out because we're Philadelphia sports fans. But I think a lot of it has to do with your expectation leading into this season was so high, mine included, that even though the Cowboys lost and it keeps you alive, I think part of us doesn't even want to be alive because it's a slow, painful death because you know you're not good enough to actually win the Super Bowl.
There you go. That's fair, but would it not be valuable for Miles Sanders, Carson Wentz, Dillard maybe, to play in a playoff game?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think they're good enough to win the Super Bowl, but no. I want more football.
I want more football. An extra home game for the fans, an extra green zone for us, make me feel awfully good.
That's a win-win for everybody there, Ty.
Now, what's interesting is it could end up being a 13 and literally the way it's lined up, it is a possibility that a 12-4 or 13-3 San Francisco could be coming this way because they still have to play on the road against Baltimore, on the road against the Seattle and somebody else. So even though they have the best record right now, but I don't care who they play at home. If it's 49ers and they're 13-3 and playing a road game, so be it. I think it would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what happens in the playoffs. And I brought it up earlier during Anthony's show, but that year where they snuck into the playoffs, I think with an 8-8 record, and they needed three teams to lose and Jamarcus Russell to win a football game, and you had to go into Dallas. They snuck into the playoffs that year, and they ended up going to the NFC Championship game.
They were 9-7 that year.
Yeah, yep. You never know what can happen if you get into the playoffs. You just never know. Nobody would have expected Nick Foles to go on the run that he did. It's a magical run. I realize that, but my point is, you never know.
You never know. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Sean in Roxborough, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, what's going on? How you doing?
What's up, Sean?
I'm just hitting on the Wentz point. You have a lot of these Foles callers calling in. They're pounding their chest like he's lighting the world on fire right now. And they want to judge Wentz and his performance the last couple weeks. And I understand that. He kind of underperformed in the last 2 weeks. Yeah. However, I want to judge him when he has a supporting cast out there, not when he's playing with five trash cans. I mean, I'll cast my judgment on Wentz when he goes out there and doesn't perform when Jeffrey's healthy and someone replaces Aguilar, who's a capable NFL wide receiver. Jeffrey hasn't looked healthy all season, but I thought back in the summertime when I seen Jeffrey, I'm like, he looks like he's put some weight on. Like, he looked like he was out of shape.
He looked, I think it could have possibly been due to injuries. I don't want to question that, but he did look closer to a tight end than a wide receiver early. He did.
For sure. I mean, yes. he didn't look like and he doesn't look very enthusiastic, you know, and then now it's coming out that he's a snitch. I mean, obviously, there's no way they can move on from him next year, right? I mean, $20 million cap hit if they cut him.
Yeah, no, he'll be here, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that they have to go. I would say they have to go, you know, first-round receiver. Unfortunately, hopefully they get it right. I'm not really optimistic that they're going to get it right.
I got you. I got you.
So, yeah, just I would cast judgment on Wentz once he has a full supporting cast, not the last 2 weeks.
And you can judge him for the last 2 weeks. You can absolutely judge him for the last 2 weeks. He did not play well. But what you can't do is decide that the entire season's in the garbage when they're still in line to win the division. Still in line. It's all there in front of them. Now, at the end of the year, they lose to Miami. They lose. They get tripped up. They lose to Dallas at home. Different deal. But right now, the season's far from over, and I'm thankful for that. I'm still looking for somebody to chime in on what they're thankful for in Philadelphia sports. Joel Embiid followed up his zero-point game with 33-16. I'm glad he bounced back there. There are positives out there. Live from Chickies and Pete's, 610-632-0975 in Marlton. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 3 here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So damn tough!
97.5 The Fanatic, Tyrone Johnson, here live from Chickies in Marlton. 610-632-0975. I've been wanting to talk about, and we're going to get to, I'm seeing people on the line that want to talk about, finally, about things we're thankful for in Philadelphia sports. But whenever I work, immediately people start calling me about Nick Foles. I don't understand it, but I'm here for it, and we're giving away the Golden Bird Peanut Chews this hour. We've only had one qualifier this hour. So if you're a quality caller, you will get to qualify. We still have 9 more minutes left in the hour. Let's see if we get some more qualifiers. And we're talking about the Eagles because nothing is over for the Eagles. We know what the Eagles are, or we know what the Eagles aren't. They're not a great team. But they have some good wins. And if you look at the season as a whole, that Packers win on the road on a short week, and that Bills win was a good win. There's no getting around it. And Dallas loses to that same Bills team just last night at home. There's reason to believe that the Eagles could possibly find the form that won those two games down the stretch enough because they completely control their own destiny in the NFC East. And I am thankful for that. And I'm trying to find out what you're thankful for in addition to everything else we've been talking about. Tony in Upper Darby, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up? Happy holidays, everybody.
Appreciate it, Tony.
I'm thankful for the fact that the Eagles have sustained so much energy, so much injury compared to Dallas, and they're both in the same position. And they can take this division being a much more healthier team than they were when they lost.
No, they are seem to be getting guys back, and the Eagles up until this point have had the fifth toughest schedule in football. They have the easiest in football to close out. Schedule absolutely plays a role in it. And if the Eagles get in because of schedule, none of us will call it an asterisk. We will just be happy that the Eagles got into the playoffs.
And also, I'm thankful for the fact that I can't judge Carson Wentz on I can't really judge him on this season without he's had his bad games, but he hasn't had no compliment around him whatsoever. I can't judge him on that right now. That's like judging Dak Prescott when he didn't have Amari Cooper.
Well, he looked like a different quarterback since Amari Cooper got there, and it's not a surprise.
Exactly.
You need good players around you.
You have to have it.
You have to have some talent around you, or at least a safety blanket guy who will break tackles and do things like an Edelman did or Wes Welker did with Brady. He could always rely on those guys.
Now, mind you, Tom Brady always won. But he didn't have a historic season as a quarterback until he got Randy Moss.
You're right. He didn't do the historic.
He was always almost Pro Bowl quarterback when it comes to stats. He was never blowing it out the water.
You're absolutely right, Tony. I'm going to put you on hold. You possibly qualify for the Golden Bird Peanut Chews. You got to have somebody around you. I'm fully prepared. I'll say it again. I've said it during the show if you're just tuning in. Carson Wentz did not play good games the last two games. I want to make that very clear. I'm not pretending somehow that he played a good game when he did not play a good game. That's not me. I'm not going to fake it like he was passable when he wasn't passable. At the same time, these receivers are terrible. And the coach has not done a good job game planning. Those things all count. I am fully prepared to judge Carson Wentz the moment they get him a player who is still good. And just so we know in football, you can be here today, gone tomorrow when it comes to football. Brian Westbrook, obviously he's on the Mike Mussinelli show every Friday. He went from having three of the best years of any running back in NFL history. The following year, he had some knee and concussion issues. The following year, he's with the 49ers, and then he's out of the league. So to say someone was good in 2017 means they're good in 2019, that is so far from the truth in football. Football, a player, many times, it is not a gradual decline. And I think in the case of Alshon Jeffrey, right now he's not on a gradual decline. He fell off a cliff, and I think his contract's going to be an albatross. Isaiah in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello?
What's up, Isaiah?
How you doing?
All right.
I just want to start off by saying I'm thankful for these Cowboys losing. Thank you.
Yes.
But I just don't get it, man. Why is everyone giving up hope? Like, before the season started and the schedule came out, we realized that we had a tough schedule. We weren't going to go 13-0, 12-0. It was a tough schedule. Yeah, granted, we lost a couple games we should have won, but that's football. But at the end of the day, football is all about momentum and confidence. These games we're going to use to build our momentum, our confidence. Hopefully we go 5-0, and if we get into the playoffs, people should be scared. Our defense is playing like that 2017 defense right now, and we're getting everyone back. They're very confident now. Yes,
no, you're right about the defense. The defense is right now a playoff defense. They have not shown to be a playoff offense recently. But the defense does look like every bit of a playoff defense. And I think that will pay dividends down the stretch. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Offense, though, tickets, defense wins championships. And I think that's what we just need to stick to. Carson Wentz, hopefully everyone comes back healthy. Hopefully they get it together against these terrible teams and just build momentum. At the end of the day, we need to give Sanders the ball. That's what we need to do. We give Sanders the ball. He's a playmaker. He's probably the best playmaker besides Carson Wentz on our team right now.
No, he absolutely is. The other thing is we had some news yesterday on Thanksgiving about Carson Wentz, a child on the way. Now, there's no excuses in pro sports when you make a lot of money. But I do wonder if when things like that happen in real life, can that affect your play? Now, I'm not a father, so I'll defer to the only father with a microphone in front of him right now, and that's Pat Egan. You're a father somehow. A lot of people are shocked by it sometimes because of your size, but you are a father. Were you at all nervous while your wife was pregnant, expecting, especially during that period before you could kind of tell people? Any butterflies during that time?
No. We were very lucky because the pregnancy, there was no problems.
Okay.
If there are problems, you know, obviously, then there's complications and stuff. I understand how it would affect you, but I'm a firm believer that a lot of times I don't buy into that, the outside life things. Like, I think when you height the ball and you got a 278-pound linebacker coming at you, I don't think you're really thinking about life issues. And
but in the case of the right guard, Brandon Brooks, he absolutely is thinking about life issues.
Yeah, you're right.
Why would it only affect just him? There has to be players that are affected by life things. It must happen.
Yeah,
now, it's not an excuse. You're getting the paycheck. I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm saying, is it a possibility that a person's slightly distracted?
I think it's a possibility. I don't think it's the reality in the situation, though.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think the biggest reality is he drops back, and he's looking at players, and he doesn't know where they're going to be. And that makes him that shakes his confidence.
I think it has more to do with personnel and then, offensive line. That doesn't mean that you play well.
I think it's an excuse, but I do think there are times when you're a quarterback. We talked about Michael Thomas. If you watched any of the game last night, there's three football games is way too many on Thanksgiving. The basketball thing is different on Christmas. Too many games, too much to do. But every time Breeze needed a slant, they started at their own two. First down. He looked at one receiver, he stared him down the whole way, and he completed every time, Michael Thomas, every single time. I think having that as a quarterback makes you so much more comfortable than when you drop back and you don't know if guys are going to be open, where they're going to be, et cetera. I think it makes a difference.
Yeah, I think that's it has a lot bigger of a difference than people might think. I mean, you don't have faith in who you're passing to, and you have 2 seconds to get the ball out. That's
right.
It's tough. It's like, all right, well, I see he's open, but he hasn't caught the ball the last 10 times I've thrown it to him.
I don't want to throw it to him. I don't like, not as a person, I don't like him as a player. Like, no, that's not my read. I want Ertz to be open.
Yeah,
I know he'll catch it. I want Sanders to be open because I know he'll catch it and maybe he'll run after the catch.
Yeah, there's a reason these guys go off and train in the offseason together and go down to Houston. And it's not to just hang out.
Oh, but Alshon.
Yeah, well, he was busy hanging out with Josina. But it's not to just hang out. It's to build a chemistry and build a confidence in each other. Of, okay, this guy can do it, this guy can't, this guy can do it. And right now, yeah. He's got nobody. Right, other than Greg Bird Jr.
This guy can do that, this guy can't do this, oh, I can't do that. And that, and I think that's played a role in it. He's got to shake all that off, but Miami's the perfect team to shake it off. Because you can get away with a lot playing against him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.